Dana and her team and Missy and you ladies, Jerry and Sherry and Donna, and I don't know, a lot of you guys made this special. It was a special day, Father's Day, wasn't it? How many of you men are wearing your special socks? There we go. Come on, Peter. I've never done this in my life. I've never had a pair of these. Yours are normal. That's weird. I thought Peter would get a really special pair. Mine are a map, and they say you're here. So I've never lost again. Y'all know how many times I got lost in the woods with Tim? 100 times, and now I'm not lost. I'm always here, right? That was just special. The donuts and socks for Pops, and before that, Mother's Day was special because family is special. You know, we've been talking about this, and I talked about this in Father's Day, and I didn't get to finish because I didn't want to keep you until 1 o'clock on Father's Day. But this scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind." According to its kind. "And God saw that it was good." You know, this is an earth-shattering, world-changing, life-changing declaration from the Lord. God said everything is going to bring according to its own kind. Why is that a big deal to us? Why does that even matter? You know, it's like when you look at the world today, the challenges that we're facing on a global scale, just as a humanity, the challenges that we face just in the state of Arkansas, in the United States of America, in North America, our challenges are great. The challenges we have in our school system, the challenges we have in our economy, the challenges that are coming forth against family. You know, it's like, I read the statistics out of that guy that's the CEO of Arkansas First Electric, and it was really true. What happens when you don't have a father in the home? It's hard. And God's made this statement. And why is this statement important? Well, we also have challenges personally that we all face. And you know what really matters? What the very foundation of this thing is about family. You can see, because you've got to understand, we've been sold a bill of goods at some degree. Your father is the God of the universe. You're of His kind. We sang those songs about it's about His name. It's not about His name that's out there that's just an abstract reality. The truth is, you're a chip off the old block. You were created in His image. You have a family name, and it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same womb that He was born from, He said you were born from. You're His brothers and His sisters. We're family. Listen, you know who your family is? It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're not just limited to the family name you have here on earth. Your family is more than that. And you know what? You belong to His family. That's who you really are. It doesn't matter what addictions you have, what problems you have, what you're lacking, because your family is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe that today with these challenges, that's what we have going on. You know, I know a lot of people focus on the end times in Matthew 24, right? And I read Matthew 24, and it says in 24 verse 3, "When He was sitting on the Mount of Olives," when Jesus was there right before the crucifixion, "His disciples came to Him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will this be? What will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus said this, 'Beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in My name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray.'" Do you know what Messiah means? Savior. You know, all you have to do is Google it, and you can find everything in the world says it's going to be your Savior. If you eat this, you'll be healthy. If you do this, you'll be happy. If you have this boat or this house or this job or this amount of money in the bank, that'll guarantee you a wonderful retirement, and you'll be happy the rest of your life, and you'll You see, you're being promised saviors all the time. There's only one Savior. There's only one King of Kings. There's only one Lord of Lords. And he said, beware that people don't lead you astray. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and you'll see. And then he makes this crazy statement. See that you are not alarmed. So if you're hearing history and you're seeing what's all these challenges that we face, listen, there are great mountains that are standing in the way in our lives. It may be financial, it may be internal, it might be emotional, it might be chemical, it might be the challenge that, you know, me and a lot of us are facing right now with aging parents. Or it might be the challenge of all these new babies. You know, Emsley, Mercy, Sakes. I had to learn how to say her name. That's a very unique name, Amy. And we're tickled to death, right? Because what a challenge to create a world that that little girl can grow up in and prosper. And she can be honored and loved and valued and have worth. You know what? What's she got to do to deserve that? What does she have to do to earn your love? What do those kids up here this morning have to do for us to give them our approval? Nothing. It's who they are. Do you know the truth is? God said before you were ever born, He approved of you. He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. God loved you before you existed on this earth. And He was excited about you. He's enthralled with you. He's enamored with you. He loves you. He just stares at you, and he'll drive you crazy. He'll just look at you. You're like, well, Jesus, don't you have something better to do? Look at this world. It's a mess. Shouldn't you be out doing stuff? He said, no, I love you. I'm just going to look at you. Because that's what we do. I mean, look, Amy's and her mom are both looking at Emsley right now. Well, couldn't y'all do something better? You should be listening to me. I'm speaking the words of life. No. You know where life comes from? Relationship. That's what's the big deal about family night on Wednesday nights. We're not saying that's not the only way to have relationship, but our focus on Wednesday nights is for us to all, from the babies to the oldest people in the room, to have relationship. Because you know what matters to Jesus Christ? Relationship with you. He's waited His whole life. You know, Jesus wasn't the only one that was anticipated being born. All of Israel, all of the world, all of history was waiting for that night when Jesus, God Himself, became man. And that little baby was born. Do you know that the same anticipation was for you and me? That, well, it matters. When God says this, it was just this, you and I were created after our own kind, and His name was Jesus Christ. You were created in His image. That makes you somebody. That makes you important. That makes you special. Well, but I got to do something to God to earn God's favor and His love. You do? I thought Jesus did something. You don't have to do anything. No more than those babies in the room right now. And there's more than one baby. I know there's lots of proud grandmas in here right now. There's more than one. And they don't have to do anything. You know, I keep hearing them. I mean, thank goodness they keep, actually, both little girls. I met a new little girl back there today. And I met Emsley on the TV. It's not the TV. What do you call those things? Cellular device. Yeah. I met Emsley on the cellular device. And everybody kept saying, oh, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. And I'm like, we say that about every baby. Do you really mean it with this one? And then I saw her. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this one really is beautiful. But aren't they all beautiful? I mean, you know, it's like she has my chin. Did you notice that? I'm going to claim something here. But you know, the truth is, you're beautiful. Now, why is that important? Because you're facing challenges the world's never faced before. And did you know that God created you for this time and this day and the challenges that you're going to face? You know what the answer to the world's problem is? Jesus was born the Savior of the world. And then He said He created us and He invited us into that same relationship with God that He had. So we could be one with Him the way He's one with the Father, and we're one together. You know why you can do that, what you've got to do? Because of Christ in you is the hope of glory in the world. Jesus isn't coming back from heaven until we've made all of his enemies a footstool under his feet. Did Jesus make you a king too? We know Jesus is a king, right? He's the Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. Nothing can challenge his goodness. Nothing can stop the light inside of him. Well, guess who he made a king? Guess who the king said is also a king? Us. He said, you're seated with me now, present tense, on a throne in heaven at the right hand of God. Now, what did you do to deserve that or earn it? Well, the same thing these children have done to deserve and earn our love. They were born. They were just born. Every human that's born was created in his image. Every human that's born, Jesus Christ has created in his image. And he came and he paid the price and he set us free and he won the battle and the victory and he defeated death and the grave so that you and I can face these mountains that we're facing. So I believe it's happening. And he says that. He said, listen, how could he say that? Was Jesus, I'm not going to say that, that would be mean. Was Jesus stupid? He told us we're going to face these battles and these wars. And then he said, and you are not to be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Well, God, how can I not be alarmed? I'm scared to death. Because the same Spirit lives inside of you, and he created you for this battle. He created you for this. Yeah, but it's hard. Yes, that's why you need the supernatural power of God inside of you. The same Spirit that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of each one of us. Now, it's a lot like Lisa just said about finances. Yeah, what do we have? What do you have? What can you give? Yeah, we did. Those Bibles were expensive. I don't get sticker shock anymore, but I used to would have looked at what we paid for those Bibles. I'm like, what? Couldn't we just do Gideon Bibles? They're free. We could ask the Gideons, they could give them to us. And they're kid size, they're little bitty, right? Some of you got those, right? I got that when I was in school, when I was in elementary school. First Bible I ever got was a little Gideon Bible. And I didn't know who Gideon was, but I was glad he gave me a Bible. But now we give them these big, beautiful, hand-selected for each kid, expensive Bibles. Why? Because you guys believe in children. So, well, I thought God gave us that money. Yeah, he gave it to us through you. That was us. We bought those Bibles for the children. You see, because God put us on earth to bring his kingdom and to change the culture and the place where we live. This is our place. This is our garden. We tend it. And I believe it's really beautiful. So I look at those challenges. I'm like, rumors of war. And you know, it's funny. Our biggest challenge, I really do believe this, is deception. He said that in the very beginning of that, what he said in verse 4, Matthew 24, beware that no one leads you astray. You see, there's a deceiver in this world, and he's trying to lead us astray. He's trying to convince you that the devil wins and God doesn't. He's trying to convince you that you're less than everybody else. He's trying to convince you that you should give up, that you've tried 20 times and you failed 20 times. He's trying to convince you everybody else quit, so why don't you quit? Every temptation you and I face, Jesus faced. He was left. He was alone. His dad died. He was poor. He worked like a dog supporting his family when he was way too young to have to do it. His mother was seen as a loose woman in her town. And they talked about her. The Virgin Mary that we honor so much, her people didn't honor her. You see, there's great things happening in the world, and God has chosen us to do those things through. You guys bless the kids. Now it's what are we going to do tomorrow? So don't be alarmed. And I'm like, God, how can you say that? And so then Jesus says that, watch out that no one deceives you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, you need to memorize this verse because I've got a clue I want you to know. You know what the world's trying to deceive us with? The world's trying to deceive us that Scripture is not true. It is. It's like that. I'm so proud of our teachers, and they so consistently are teaching the children about Scripture. It's because it's true. It's true. It's been true. It is true, and it'll always be true. But the world wants to deceive you and tell you that just because it's written in the Bible, it's optional. That's not really what God said. Guys, without that foundation, and led by the Holy Spirit, we've been undermined. And it's true. Because you look at what Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said this, writing to the church in Corinth, "I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning," get this through your thick head, my thick head. Eve was deceived. She believed a lie. And the same lie Eve believed, Satan is trying to get us to believe today. You know what he told her? "You're not enough, Eve. You need to do this so that you can be pleasing and honoring and God will love you. Eve, you need to do this. Who God created you isn't enough. So just do this, Eve, and then you'll please God." And she believed that was true. She believed it was true. Was what Jesus did powerful enough that you and I don't have to do anything to be saved? We don't earn it. He redeemed us. Who redeemed you? Jesus did. Who laid down his life for you? Jesus did. Who suffered for you? Jesus did. And all God is asking us to do is to believe. We can't do anything to earn it or to deserve it. We can't do anything to not be loved. You know, I know, especially, of course, it's easy with grandbabies. It's a little harder when those little cute little children become big people. But you can't make them not love their kids. You can't make them not love them. You see, Jesus loves you that way and me that way. We can't make him not love us. You can't make what he did for you be of no avail. You can't do it. And Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning. And the same thing is happening to us. What was the lie that Eve believed? Very simple lie. You're not enough. What do we struggle with? I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have a good history. I'm not enough. You see, that's the lie Satan tricked her with too. So why you matter? We all matter. And God says we're enough. You see the same lie. And if we say we're not enough, what we're saying is what Jesus did is not enough. You know, remember where you come from. You were created in the image of your dad. Perfect likeness of your dad. He handmade you. Unique in the whole world. You're enough. And you know what you're enough for? The same that Jesus was enough for. You're enough for his presence to live inside of you, to bring life to children, to bring life to a business, to bring life to economies, to bring life to governments, to bring life to education systems. You're enough to bring life to your family, to your job, to your grandchildren, to your future. You are enough because of the light inside of you is more powerful than the darkness that you're surrounded by. And I love these verses. Eve believed that what God did when he made her wasn't enough. She believed that. And you know, there was an accuser, Satan himself, that was whispering that in her ear. You're not enough. You're not enough, Eve. You need to do more. God will love you more if you do this and you do that and you do that. That's all a lie. God would never love her more. He loved her infinitely the whole time. You know, and then we get... It's interesting. Y'all know Israel right now, they're under attack, right? And there's a war going on. And so it's much in the news. But Israel has been around for a long time. Like, from Abraham to when Jesus was born was 1,800 years. Close, approximately. 1,800 years. God came to the world and said, I'm going to have a family. And he came to Abraham and Sarah, and they had a son. And the history of the Jewish nation began then. And 1,800 years later, Jesus came. Now, you know, that 1,800 years, if you study, you can study forever. And what you see is one thing. Man was trying to become good enough in his own effort to be approved, to get God's approval. Isn't that crazy? That's a long time. 1,800 years, millions of people, and you see over and over and over, the Jewish nation was trying to be good enough, to do enough, to have enough, to know enough, to please their dad. And we see that, and the culmination of it was that kind of legalism and living out of relationship put you in bondage, and they ended up killing the very Son of God. The religious institution of their day killed Jesus. Guys, and I think that we fall in that same battle. You see, it says 1,800 years they did this, and I'll talk about this later. I'm not going to go into it today, but, you know, Israel's first king, they eventually asked for a king. And the prophet Samuel, he anointed Saul king because they demanded a king. So God said, okay, let them have a king and see how that works out for them. They've been obeying the law. They've been living in this religious culture trying to please God. I'll give them a king. So he gives them Saul. So Saul was a big man. He looked like a king. And guess what happened? Well, in 1 Samuel, here's what Samuel was talking to Saul. You see, Saul did something. The Holy Spirit, God gave him instructions. And you know what Saul did? He added to what God said. What God said wasn't good enough. He just added more to it to make it better. To make it better. And then Samuel said this to Saul, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Divination is witchcraft. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And God raised up a shepherd boy named David to be the next king. And I looked at that, and I'm like, God, all Saul did, he didn't do anything bad. He did the same thing Eve did. He tried to add to what God had said. And all God wants is a relationship. And Saul tried to do something better. And he rejected the word of the Lord. You see, you guys know this. In John chapter 1, verse 1, and in 1 John also, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, the Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth so that you and I could experience the same life with God that He experienced. The Spirit, the divinity, the Holy Spirit living inside of our bodies. And you see, the Word is more than just that. The Word is actually God's statement about you. Jesus was born a human as a man, fully man, because God wants you to know that He loves you. You're a man. You're a human, just like Jesus was. And the Word was God's logic. You know what God's logic is? You don't earn your way into my goodness. You don't earn my approval. You don't do anything. I just approve of you. That's logic to God's logic. And we're good with that with babies, right? We're good with babies, but we're not so good with that as adults. We have to earn everything. We have to deserve everything. We make things happen. And God says, I love you. My son came so that you and I could be one forever. And that's his logic. And God's logic was that way. And you know what Saul did? He rejected that. And he turned in, his life was one of performance. And God said, no. We don't live by performance. We live by relationship. I want to be one. You're my kids. And you were lost, and now you're found. I want to have a relationship with you. I don't want your money. I don't want your stuff. I don't want you to do stuff to please me. Guys, we've spent our whole lives thinking we have to do something to make him happy. He was happy with us before we were born. And he's still happy with you today. And anything good in our lives is coming from him. And we see it everywhere we go. You look anywhere around you and you see good things coming, and God's doing that because he loves us. And I look at that. Listen, the logic of God, right? It was simple what Saul did. He added to it, was all he did, just like Eve. He believed a lie. That'd be better his way. It would be better his way. And there's no better idea than what Jesus did. It's the best idea. There's no greater logic than God's logic. He's the Word. He's the Word. The word, Word means logic, reason, all the things that you can do. It's not just a single word. It means a lot more than that in the Scripture. And you know, Jesus didn't just model for us. I think sometimes we get confused with this. Jesus didn't model how we're supposed to act. He showed us who we are. See the difference? I can look at Chris and I can imitate him all the time and model myself after him, right? I can model myself after him. Jesus didn't come for us to look at him and to model ourselves after him like a robot. You know what he came to do? He came to show us who we are. And when you believe, when you have faith and you believe what he says about you is true, it releases God's power in you to be more than just your flesh. And a lot of you are walking in that right now. You're faithful. You love. You take care of things. You work hard. You're industrious. You care. You give. You know where that comes from? It comes from because whose you are. You belong to a family, and that family has morals. That family is ethics. That family cares. And the supernatural power working through Jesus was the Spirit of God working through him the same way it works through you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You see, our faith is on what Jesus did and on who we are. You're a son of the King. You're a chip off the old block. That's what he said to Peter. Peter, you're a chip off the old block. You're not the cornerstone. You're not the capstone, Peter. I'm the foundation, but you are part of me. And one day Peter said, you know what, Jesus, that's true. I judged myself because I denied you. I judged myself by killing Christians. I judged myself by the horrible things I did. But you know, the truth is, that's not who I am. You know who I am? I'm you. I'm a part of your family. That's who I am. And we saw the Spirit of God transform a man unbelievably. And a lot of you have already experienced God's transformation power in your life. And now the battle is, do you believe that you're really who he says you are? And that's our battle. You know, you and I were created. And I love this. I'm going to skip this. Zechariah, right? Old Testament. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, a king. Not by might, nor by power, not by your past, not by anything that happened from here back, not by your lack of this or your lack of that, not by your habits of this or your whatever of that, not by your training, not by your intelligence, not by those things, Zerubbabel, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Those mountains we face are nothing in the face of the God. And do you know who God lives inside of? You. We're looking, we were all born to be champions. We were all born to be conquerors. We are all filled with the same power. You know what? God's just excited when one of us stands up and says, you know what? I'll take this challenge on. I'll take that challenge on. I'll take this challenge on. You know, for some of you, that challenge, you're sitting next to them and it'll be like, I'll love them. I'm going to love them. That's a big challenge. That was a joke, but it's not a joke. It's true. Try loving without Him. Try being faithful without Him. Try it. Try even being nice to people when they mistreat you without Him. He makes all the difference in the world. And it is, the truth is, when you say the name of Jesus, you're saying your surname. That's your surname. You belong to a new family. You're a new creation. You have a new name. The same name that Jesus carries. You see, Jesus was His human name. Christ was His divinity. And He said, guys, I'm going to go away so that the same Spirit that makes me the Christ now lives inside of you. Now, who'll accept the challenge? Who's going to stand up and say, you know what? I'll fight this battle. I'll win this. And it's not a physical fight. It's not an outward. This isn't an outward mountain we're facing. It's an inward mountain. It's the mountain of unbelief and judgment and criticism that we have on ourselves. Jesus says, you're perfect for this. I say you're perfect for it. I say I'm perfect for it by faith, I believe. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. You were created for this mountain. You know, I like his attitude. It reminds me of, you know, David when he was just a Rudy. He was a young, red-faced little boy. He went and faced Goliath. And they were all making fun of him because he was the youngest son. He was nobody. He went and he said, why aren't you fighting this giant? We're going to look at that. Why don't you face the giant you're facing? Why don't you stand up and spit in his eye? You know, God said to what Zechariah said. He said, what are you, mighty mountain? Who do you think you are standing in the way of my Father? And my Father backs me up. My dad backs me up. Jesus has mountains picked out for each one of us. He's waiting for us to stand up and trust Him. And I trust my dad. I hope he's right behind me right now. Right? God loves you. He loves your family. He loves your purpose, your destiny. He loves it all. And He will give you the strength to overcome. It's not by power or might. It's by His Spirit. Says the Lord. Amen. That's exciting. Y'all good? Are y'all good? Y'all really good? I mean, you're really good. Are you ready to go to war? Except for it's not a war out here. It's a war in here. Jesus, me and you. Your next challenge, it's very simple. What do? Okay, Jesus, let's do this. Let's do it. Not you do it. Let's do it. And when you live that way, His power will give you the strength to overcome. Then you'll be able to have a testimony. You'll say, you know what? I was undone, and now I'm done. I'm a champion now. Why? Because I did it with Him. His Spirit in me overcame the enemy. Amen? Cool. Let's all stand up. Peter Baker, come on up. Can you play this thing?
It's my first time.
It's your first time? Yeah, liar. I love Scripture. Jesus is brilliant. Your battle's not out here. It's in here. There's nothing out here that can stand in His way. I don't care. There's nothing out there that can stand in His way. And so now when He says, listen, don't get worried with all this stuff. Like, God, how can you say that? Are you dumb? He's not dumb. He knows who's in us. So why would you worry? When your dad's here. Your dad's here. Right? So Jesus, I just thank you that you have a plan for the problems in the world. And your plan is us. So God, I just speak life over my heart and everyone's heart. God, everybody that's worshiping and loving you in the world today, here in Cabot and Grace, God, that you would give us boldness to trust you more than we trust the physical world that we live in. So God, I just thank you today that we bless those kids and that they see Scripture in their whole lives. They can build their life on the foundation that they see in Jesus Christ. God, I just thank you. I thank you for every parent, every grandparent that's giving and giving and giving and that's changing the world. So God, I thank you for the new babies, the old babies, the elderly babies. I'm not going to say anything else. Jesus loves you. So this morning, if you'd like to pray, we want to pray with you. We have two teams up here. If you have any physical needs, we love to see people God heals today. And if anything else going on in your heart, they'd love to pray with you. Don't lay all over the babies. You can look at them. Don't touch them. I don't know that. That wasn't true when I was young. Everybody touched the babies, but now it's like they're a little more careful. So God bless you guys. Thank you for being here this morning with us. God bless you.